This week we want to ask the question, where are you headed? Where are you headed? The Bible teaches us the concept throughout that this world is not our home, we're just passing through. The question, though, is, where are you headed? There are ultimately only two destinations. Unlike, however, other traveling that we might do, one of those destinations encompasses everywhere that's not the other destination. You know, usually if we're going to one place, there are many other places that we could go if we took a wrong turn. But in the case of heaven and hell, we are either on the road to heaven, or if we make a wrong turn, anywhere else we go will lead us to hell. So we've got to be going the right direction. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, Peter says, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." It says we're all sojourners here. There are those who will pass their time in fear with respect to God, and there are those who will pass their time here any way they please. We need to be the former, not the latter. We want to think about traveling. All of us probably have made some trips. I know some don't like to go very far from home, but we all have made some trips. We've been travelers of one kind or another. Some maybe on buses or trains or planes, some in our automobiles. But we've traveled. And I want us to think about several things about travelers that we can apply to our Christian lives as well. So first, let us remember that travelers are leaving somewhere. Now, you can't travel if you stay where you are. You've got to be leaving somewhere. Mark chapter 10 and verses 29 through 31, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." It hadn't been too long ago that we looked at that passage in Matthew's account. But we think about that. Those travelers who were following Jesus had to leave somewhere, and they had to leave something behind. I dare say when you've traveled, you didn't take everything with you. You left something behind. Sometimes, maybe we're on a business trip and we leave everyone and everything behind except for a few clothes and some money. And that's it. It's just all alone out into the wild. Other times, we may be going on a family vacation and we may take the family and we may have bags full of clothes, and if you do it like my mother did, you'll have ice chests full of food so that you don't get to stop at McDonald's every time, you know. All that kind of thing. And you know, we may have a whole bunch of things that we take with us, but still, we leave some things behind. Well, on our journey to heaven, we are leaving somewhere, and we have to leave some things behind if we're going to make it. We cannot carry our sin with us. We cannot carry with us anything that takes priority over and above Jesus and God the Father. We have to leave them behind. We have to put them off and move forward. And of course, ultimately, we're leaving this earth. We're leaving it behind. The Bible talks about those who store up treasures here on earth. For what good? you're just going to have to leave it behind. Who's going to get it when you're gone? Writer of Ecclesiastes spends a lot of time talking about all the things that we do here on this earth, the things that we build, the things that we make, all the wealth that we build, and everything else. And he says, and then you're just going to have to leave it behind, and who knows? That person that you leave it to, who knows what they're going to do with it? Are they going to be wise, or are they going to be a fool and waste it all? You don't know. And so we need to be laying up our treasures somewhere other than the place we're leaving. We need to lay our treasures up where we're going. And that's the second thing we want to notice, is that travelers are going somewhere. Most people don't leave out from somewhere without being headed somewhere. They don't just say, I'm getting out of here and I don't care where I go. Sometimes, I suppose, people are running from something. But most of the time, they're going somewhere. They may be going home for the holidays. They may be going on a business trip, as we talk about. They may be going on a doctor's appointment. But they're going somewhere, and that's why they're traveling. When you see people going up and down the road, unless it's teenagers on a Friday night, they're not just driving aimlessly. They're going somewhere. I remember that teenagers on the Friday night getting out there Friday and Saturday night and just cruising around. Yeah, but most people, adults at least, when they're going somewhere, they're going somewhere. They're not just wasting gas and wearing out the tires. They have a place that they're headed. And we need to have a place we're headed as well. Hebrews 10:34. The Hebrew writer says, For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. He says, you know where you're going. You're going toward heaven. And you know you've got something up there. Something better. Something that is enduring. In chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer continues by saying, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, we're running a race. And you know, one of the rules of a race is that there's a finish line. There's somewhere you're headed. It's not much of a race if everybody says, okay, just go. Well, go where? How are you going to know who won if you don't know where they're going? You know, it's important whether it's just a little 100-meter dash or whether it's a marathon or whether it's a cross-country race or whether it's an across the country in a car race, or whether it's a NASCAR race where they just go round and round in circles. That race would drive me crazy. But it doesn't matter what kind of race it is. You've got to go somewhere. And you've got to get to the place appointed. That's where you're headed. Well, we're running a Christian race. And he tells us there is a finish line. There's some place we're headed. The race is set out before us. And it ends where Jesus is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he tells us we need to be looking at him because that's where we're going. You've got to look where you're going, don't you? You ever tried driving, looking behind you in your rearview mirror? Doesn't work too well. We tried that Xander with the Mario Kart thing with the little Nintendo game. And we tried that. We tried driving backwards through the race. It's really hard to drive when you can't see where you're going. When you're looking backwards, you run into all sorts of things. You run off the road. Fortunately, since that was just a game, nobody got hurt. But can you imagine if somebody drove while they were looking backwards? That wouldn't work. People would be hurt. Property would be destroyed. It wouldn't be a good thing. We've got to look where we're going. And if we're going to Jesus, then that's where we need to keep our eyes. We need to be looking to Jesus. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10 talks about Abraham. It says, By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now the Hebrew writer is not telling us that we have to all move out of our houses and live in tents and just wander around camping everywhere. That's not his point. But his point was that even though he lived here on this earth, he was looking where he was going. And it meant more than he was just looking for his next campsite here on earth. He was looking for that city that's built by God. He was headed toward heaven, and that's what he was looking for. And we've got to beware. If we get too comfortable here, we won't want to travel. Now, it's a lot easier to pack up a tent and take off than it is to rip up a house off its foundations and drag it with you, isn't it? I've seen some people move some houses sometimes. That's an operation right there. I don't mean a mobile home. I mean they've actually moved some houses. That's a task right there, to move a house. Unhook all the plumbing. Unhook all the wiring and the septic tank or whatever and all of that, and then lift it up off its foundation and then finding a truck big enough to put it on, you know. We don't want to drag that with us to heaven. So we need to understand, we need to be ready to move. We need to be ready to travel. We're headed to another place. Then we need to remember that travelers go through many places on the way. Philippians 4:11 through 12, Paul talks about some of the places he'd been in his travels. I know he's not talking about cities or states or countries here or something like that. Listen to what he says. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am," or maybe he is talking about states, "therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." He went through some different places in his life. Not just different locations on earth, but different circumstances. And we will too. As we travel through life, we're going to go through some different places. We're going to go through a lot of places. We're going to have a lot of changes in our lives. And we have to prepare ourselves for that. The fourth thing we want to notice is that travelers choose their destination. They choose where they're going. Luke chapter 10 and verse 42, Jesus says, "But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Do you remember that? Martha was busy cooking and cleaning and taking care of the house and getting ready to serve Jesus, and Mary was just sitting there listening, soaking in every word he had to say. Martha came and said, "Jesus, make her get up and help me." And Jesus said, "Oh no, see, you got it backwards. She's the one that's doing the right thing. She's the one that's chosen something good." We've got to choose, though, where we're going. We have to decide. Because there are several highways that lead out of this place, and not all of them are going where we want to go. If we want to go to Monroe, well, then we don't need to head out toward Vidalia. If we want to go to Natchez, then we better not turn right downtown there by Sonic. We'll be going the wrong way. It'll be really hard to get to Natchez going toward Jonesville. We've got to go the way we want to go to get where we want to go. So we have to choose where we're going. We will not get there by accident. Now I suppose mathematically it would be possible for somebody without choosing a destination to wind up somewhere. And then when they get there, they might go, "Oh, well, I like this place. I'm glad I came here." It could happen by accident, but it doesn't in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, if you want to wind up somewhere, you've got to choose your destination so that you take the right road. There is only one path that leads to heaven. All other paths lead to hell. Now, you see, we're not quite used to that, because here on earth there are different ways you can get there. You know, if we want to go to Jackson, Mississippi, we can go over to Natchez, and then we can go up 61 to Interstate 20 and across. Or we can go to the Natchez Trace and go up. Or we can go across 84 and up. Or we can go up here to Tallulah and across. There's lots of different ways. We can take all those different roads and we can still get to Jackson. And sometimes people think that's the way it is in the religious world. Well, we're just taking all these different paths, but we'll all wind up in the same place. No, there's only one road that leads to heaven. We've got to go through Jesus Christ and we've got to follow Him. He's the one that knows the way. We've got to follow His path. But we've got to choose the destination. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, Moses called on the children of Israel to do that. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death. See, there were only two choices, life or death. Blessing and cursing. The only two choices. See, some people think, well, I don't want to choose God, but I don't want to choose the devil. I'll just go my own way. That's not a choice. I do that. Julia sometimes, she's, give her a choice. Do you want an apple or a banana? After lunch or supper or whatever. Do you want an apple or a banana? She said, I want grapes. Well, we don't have any grapes. Yeah, but I want grapes. Well, that wasn't one of the choices. Apple or banana was your choice. God gives us a choice, life or death, blessing or cursing. And we say, well, I don't want to do it. I want to do it my own way. That's not a choice. There are only two ways, God's way or the devil's way. And when we say, well, I'll do it my way, guess what? My way is the devil's way. Because it's not God's way. It's either God's way or it's not. We can't pick a different way. We've got to go His way. And so He says, I give you these choices. And He says, therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And He says, you know, just make the right choice. And then Joshua 24:15, we remember that one? Joshua calls on the people of his day. Same thing. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to serve those fake gods that your father served on the other side? You're going to serve these gods here in this land? It didn't matter which one because they were both fake. So whichever fake god, you know, you serve this. Or are you going to serve the Lord? You better pick. You better choose. See, we need to choose our destination. Where are we going to go? Who are we going to follow? Fifth thing that we need to notice is that travelers may have trouble along the way. We may have trouble. Some of our other fellow travelers may have troubles. It's not free from trouble. You often will see as you're traveling along, somebody broke down on the side of the road, won't you? Some of us have been that person broken down on the side of the road. Brother was telling us this morning about, you know, sometimes we're the person pulled over by the policeman on the side of the road. We had some troubles too. You know, there are different kinds of troubles that we may have along the way. We may make a wrong turn along the way. We did that one time coming through Kansas City. We were on the interstate cruising along. Next thing we know, we're downtown. Red lights and I thought we were on the interstate. We missed a turn or took a wrong turn somewhere as we were trying to go through on the interstate, and we wound up in downtown, down there at a red light. And I said, last I checked, they don't put red lights on the interstate. We're not where we're supposed to. We may have troubles on the road. There are going to be times where there's trouble along the way. Acts 15 and verse 24, he says, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you. Notice that. The apostle said, some that left from there, some that were supposed to be Christians, even, had troubled the disciples. Troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. You see, sometimes lies cause us some trouble, as they did there. Those people were lying, but it was causing trouble. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-11. Well, there's a lot of troubles that we may face. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Now you think about that for a minute. He says, God comforts us so that we can comfort others. We need to be comforting each other when we have those troubles along the way. We need to help each other out. We're going to have times in our Christian lives where some other fellow Christian is going to fall to a temptation, to a sin. We need to help them. Help them fix that flat tire so they can get back on the road. They're going to run out of gas sometimes. They're going to get tired and weary in well-doing. We need to fill them up again. There are going to be troubles that we're going to have. There are going to be temptations. There are going to be problems. And we've got to help each other out because we know we're going to need help sometimes too. Think about that old song, Lean on Me. You remember that old song? It talks about, you lean on me because someday I may have a problem and I may need someone to lean on. You know, sometimes we have to take turns helping each other out. Sometimes we're the strong one, sometimes we're the weak one. Sometimes we help somebody else, sometimes we need them to help us. And so we don't need to burn our bridges. We may need those bridges. We may have trouble along the way. And Paul talks about those, how they helped him and how they did good. And how God is there to help us as well along the way. But then in 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9, he helps us to understand that God is going to recompense some tribulation to those who trouble us. God will not allow those who trouble His children to go unpunished. That should give us some level of comfort, knowing that whatever trouble we're going through, whatever problem we're having, God is going to take care of it. Ultimately, those who trouble His children are going to suffer the fate of eternal fire. Well, we don't want to be caught up with that group that's troubling us then. We want to stay clear of them. Stay away from them. Don't let them trick us into following them. You know, the old saying, well, if you can't beat them, join them. No, we can beat them. As long as we stay free of them and don't join them, we have beat them. As long as we keep following Christ, we beat them. They may physically beat us. They may even kill us. You know, there's no telling what they'll do to us. They may mock us. They may get us into all sorts of problems. But as long as we stay true to Christ, we win. And we've got to be faithful to Him. On a brighter note, though, we need to remember that travelers should enjoy the journey. If you ever traveled with kids, you know what a tough one that is. The kids, are we there yet? How much longer is it going? How far is it? What? Can we stop? Can we go? Oh, can we go over there? They don't enjoy the journey very often. They want to go where you're going, but they don't enjoy getting there. But as Christians, in the Christian life, we need to enjoy the journey. We need to make the most of it. Philippians 1:21 through 26, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." So Paul says, I'm going to journey with you to help you enjoy the trip. I'm going to journey with you a little while longer. But you know, we can enjoy the journey, enjoy the trip. Enjoy having the time to be together while we have it. Another thing we need to remember is that travelers need traveling companions. It's a hard thing to travel alone. The longer the journey, the harder it is to travel alone. Ecclesiastes writer says in chapter 4 and verses 9 through 12, two are better than one. because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You remember Jesus telling us that about the Good Samaritan? And of course, it was just a story that he was telling, but probably the event had happened before many times where a lone traveler, well, that lone traveler out there, the thieves saw him and they took that opportunity. But you know, if there was a whole group traveling together, the thieves wouldn't be so quick to jump on the whole group, would they? They'd be outnumbered. They'd be afraid to do that. But when there's two or three thieves and they see one fellow alone, man, we can take him. You think about it with a lion or tiger or some predator like that. When they see a whole herd together, what they do is they scare the herd into running so they break up so they can chase one and get that one. If they all stay together, they can fight him out and not be taken. But boy, when they start scattering, they get into trouble. We need traveling companions. It is tough when you're by yourself. Sometimes it's just tough to stay awake when you're traveling by yourself. You need somebody with you to keep you awake, to talk to you, to irritate you so you don't fall asleep, you know, that kind of thing. Somebody to say, hey, it's hot in here, turn the air conditioner up so that, you know, you get too cold to fall asleep, and that kind of thing. But, you know, we need traveling companions. There's an old saying that no one will get to heaven alone. Now, to some degree, that's about bringing other people with you to heaven. But to some degree, it's about the difficulty of trying to make the journey all alone. It's hard to go by yourself. We need some traveling companions. Then we need to remember that travelers need to count the cost. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said, Lord, I'll follow you whether you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. Another said, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go bid farewell to them that are at my house. Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Count the cost. He goes on to give some examples of one who started building a tower and of one that was going to go to war. And you know, they need to count the cost or else they'll make grievous errors. You know, when you go to traveling, you need to count the cost. How much is it going to cost in gas? How much is it going to cost in food? How much is lodging going to be? All of those kind of things. You know, I get calls all the time. Got one not too long ago. Somebody says, well, I need some money. What do you need money for? Well, my boyfriend, I got him down here from Chicago, and now he's got to be back in Chicago to go to court. If he doesn't go to court, they're going to come arrest him. When you got him down here, you didn't think that he was going to need to go back to be at that court date? You didn't have some money set aside for the return bus ticket? You didn't buy a round-trip ticket in the first place? You didn't plan ahead, did you? You didn't count the cost. People all the time, they get somewhere. Well, I need gas money to get back home. Well, didn't you count the cost? Didn't you know how much gas your car uses? Didn't you know how much it's going to cost to get the gas to get here and to get back home? No, I know. And sometimes there are emergencies. The car breaks down and there's an extra expense or something to have it towed and worked on and that kind of thing. Yeah, maybe so. Well, unexpected things happen. We better expect it. But we can at least have the basic costs expected. I guarantee every car I've ever seen, in order to drive it from one place to another, there's a certain cost it's going to take to get there. And that cost is going to change. When we took our trip to North Carolina, we were pulling a U-Haul trailer. We had to say, well, how much is the U-Haul trailer going to cost to rent? And, oh, if we're pulling that trailer, we're not going to be able to get the same gas mileage that we could get without it. It's going to cost more in gas to pull that trailer all that way to North Carolina and back. So you got to count the cost. You got to add that in there. But it's amazing how many people in Christianity, they don't count the cost. I won't be a Christian. Well, that means you're going to have to give up this and this and this because Christians don't do those things. Oh, I don't want to give up those things. I'm going to be a Christian without giving up those things. It doesn't work that way. I want to be a Christian. Well, a Christian has to do these, this, and this, and this is what God wants them to do. Well, I don't want to do those things. I want to be a Christian without doing those things. It doesn't work that way. You've got to count the cost. If you're going to follow Jesus, there are going to be costs. And you've got to count the cost. You have to prepare for the journey. Now, there are going to be some unexpected things that are going to come up in your Christian life that you didn't ever imagine were going to happen. You have to make it through those things. But there are some things that we can know are going to happen. And we prepare for those things. John 6:64-66. Jesus said, there are some of you that do not believe. And He said, no one can come to Me except the Father gives it to him. And from that time, verse 66 says, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. They recalculated the cost and they said, we can't afford to take this trip. That's kind of sad. But you know, there are a lot of people who, when push comes to shove and the choice is actually before them of will they do what God wants them to do or not, it really comes down to it. They count the cost and they say, I am not going to spend the time, the effort, the energy, the mental. I can't make that trip. I'm not going. And that's a sad thing, but it's true sometimes. The ninth thing we want to notice is that travelers can't go without fuel. You can't travel on an empty stomach or an empty gas tank. You've got to have some fuel, both for your body and the car that's carrying you or whatever is taking. Even in one of these electric cars, you've got to plug it in somewhere, right? In fact, you can't go as far in them as you can in a car with gasoline. 2 Corinthians 9:10-11, Paul says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. He says, God's going to take care of you and give you the fuel you need. In Acts 14:15-17, talks about how God filled our hearts with food and gladness. Well, there's a spiritual aspect as well that we need. 1 Corinthians 10:2-4 talks about those children of Israel. He says, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They ate the same spiritual meat. They drank the same spiritual drink. And the same is true of us. Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that comes to Me shall never hunger, and he that believes on Me shall never thirst. Remember, He told the woman at the well, I'll give you water so that you'll never thirst again. Living water. Jesus said, if you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you'll never die. He promises us spiritual nourishment, fuel for the journey. But we've got to get it from Him. We've got to have that fuel to make the journey. But then, of course, perhaps one of the most obvious things is if we want to actually make it to our destination as a traveler, travelers need directions. Even if we know kind of where we're going. You know, we know we're going east or west or north or south, or maybe we even know what town we're going to. But you see, if we want to get to a specific building or specific place in that town, we're going to have some directions to get to it. There may be signs on the highway that say such and such many miles to this town. But what are you going to do when you get to that town? Especially if you're going to a larger city. How are you going to get where you want to go? Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's tricky. Sometimes there are one-way streets. Sometimes there's construction. I know over in Alexandria right now, the Jackson Street Bridge is closed. So if you're over there in Pineville and you think you're going to go up the road and get up across the Jackson Street Bridge to downtown Alexandria, you're out of luck. You're going to get down there and have to turn around and go back around the other way because that bridge is closed. Note that, you know, if there's road construction somehow, you've got to have some directions, and they've got to be good directions. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Where are we going to get our directions? Some TV preacher? Some self-help book? Our friends and neighbors or family members? Where are we going to get our directions to get to heaven? There's only one individual who's ever been to heaven and made it here and back to there again. There's only one. If we want to know how to get there, we better follow the one who's gone. He's the only one, Jesus of Nazareth. The Christ. He's the only one who knows how to get us from here to there. Friends may encourage us, family members may be of support to us, but ultimately, God's Word is the map, the direction book that tells us how to follow Jesus to that destination. We're all traveling somewhere. Where are we traveling? Where are you headed? If you're not on the right path this morning, if you're not headed toward heaven, the good news is there is still time to change the road you're on. You can change and go back, make that detour back to the right road and get on the right road going the way you want to go. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation this morning, please do so as we stand and as we sing.